Chapter 14. Rise and shine, sleepyhead. Dad's voice from the hallway startled me. Before I even opened my eyes, I could feel my cheek resting on the carpet. Great. I opened my eyes and looked around. First, I spotted Savannah's long, slender fingers hanging off the edge of the bed. She was completely stretched out across the mattress. Then I saw Emma balled up tightly on the other bed, under the lime green fleece blanket she bought for her flight. I was in the middle of the two beds, on the floor. Good thing Mom put two beds in this guest room, I said while rising up to my knees and placing a hand on each of my thighs. Dad was standing in the doorway, motioning for me to come out quietly. I looked around and shook my head to try to wake up faster. I knew I'd come here last night to apologize to my friends for leaving during the interview, but I was pretty sure I walked back to my room before they fell asleep. Maybe I was just dreaming, I thought to myself. I stepped out into the hall and wrapped both my arms around Dad's waist. Hi, beautiful, he said. I stood there for a while, resting my head at the bottom of his chest. Dad held tight for a second, then gently pushed me forward so that he could see my face. Are you all right? He spoke just a little louder than a whisper. Yep. I tried to smile big to make sure he believed me. Okay, well, let's get you dressed. You were filming downtown at the bank today. It's a really big building and can be a little confusing. They are picking you up to make sure you get where you need to be on time. What about Emma and Savannah? I interjected. Mom and I will bring them to the set later on this afternoon, around lunchtime, he continued. You have about 20 minutes to get ready. Want me to fix you an egg? No, I'll eat when I get there, I answered while heading to my room to get ready for the day. Dad knows that my absolute favorite thing to do while on set is to eat, so he was probably just asking about breakfast to be nice. He was probably still worried about me after last night. I really did let my emotions get the best of me, so I was determined to make today better. Having Emma and Savannah come to the movie set later in the day was going to be perfect. I'd have plenty of time to plan a great afternoon for us. I knew I wouldn't have a lot of free time, but I already had a few ideas. I wanted to make sure they met Mallory, KB, and the other interns so they could see just how normal everyone is. I knew they would want to see the cameras and movie set, so I'd take them to do that right away. Mostly, I just wanted to find the perfect spot for us to just hang out. I still needed to hear about Mexico. I grabbed my iPod and found Mallory's station. I hopped in the shower, then brushed my teeth, and tossed on a pair of black gym shorts, an old yellow volleyball shirt, and Mallory's white hat with a turquoise 2 on it. I was walking out of my bedroom just as Ashton was coming in. Lena, you look funny, she said.
I don't care, I said a bit snarky.
We are all wearing gym shorts today.
Me too?
Ashton asked. Nope, just my friends and me. I poked her in the belly and stuck out my tongue. She did the same, and with an equal amount of snark, she replied,
So?
Lena, come on. They are here. Dad called from the front door. I raced down the hall, scooping up Austin on the way. His wrinkled gray paw flopped up and down as I ran. I dropped him at the front door and blew him a kiss. Oh, we forgot to pray. Dad held my hands in his and said, Lord, thank you for Lena. Thank you for this day. Keep her safe and use her for your work today. Amen. Then he nudged me out the door. Bye, Daddy, I yelled as I hopped in the back seat of the black car that was sitting outside of my house. It took us a lot longer than usual to get to the set. I could hear the driver on the phone letting someone know that traffic was bad. Dad was right. The big office building downtown was confusing, but as usual, KB met me at the door where the car dropped me off. In her usual speedy fashion, she guided me down one hallway, then another hallway, and into an elevator. We finally reached the tiny room where hair, makeup, and wardrobe were waiting for me. I could tell the room was normally someone's office. There was a desk behind a big black curtain that hung from the ceiling.
I was trying to see the picture sitting in the corner when Mallory stepped down from the hair chair with X legs and said, "Hey, Lena girl, you're up next." "Nice hat, by the way." She flicked the brim and smiled. I accidentally let out a snort and said, "Thanks." "Oh, Mallory," I called before she left the room. "What's up?" She turned back toward me. "Do you remember the video I sent you? And I mentioned my two friends, Emma and Savannah?"
"Oh, yeah, of course. The ones who told you about the audition, right?" she said.
"Yep. Well, they are here visiting me and are coming to set today, and they can't wait to meet you."
"That's awesome. Make sure you find me when they get here. Can't wait to meet them."
Yes, I thought. I was already feeling accomplished, making plans for me and the girls. The rest of the morning went really fast. After hair and makeup, I stuck to my normal routine. Wardrobe, breakfast, mirror check with KB, back to hair and makeup to remove traces of breakfast from my face and fix any smudges. I also ran my lines for the day over and over again. We could finally be happy again, and everyone was getting back to their chipper selves on set since the more emotional and sad scenes were done. Even Mr. Fenway looked relieved. I really prayed we could get through the scenes much faster than normal, but we didn't. So after 3 long hours of filming, it was finally time for lunch. Just as I'd hoped, Emma and Savannah were waiting for me in the lunch area, wearing their gym shorts, old volleyball shirts, and baseball caps. Mom, Dad, and my sisters were standing in a corner talking to Mr. Fenway. I am not sure what they were talking about, but it looked interesting. Mr. Fenway's hands were waving through the air, and Mom had her bottom lip tucked under her top 2 teeth like she does when she's using all of her energy to listen. Even Ansley, Amber, and Ashton were gazing straight at Mr. Fenway's moving mouth. Emma and Savannah were sitting at a small circular table away from everyone else. I headed straight toward them and did my best to avoid making eye contact with Mom, Dad, or my sisters. I just wanted to see my friends. "Hi, girls!" The closer I got to them, the more excited I felt.
"Lena!"
Emma greeted me.
"This building is so cool!" she exclaimed.
Savannah stood up next to her, nodding and smiling.
"I know, right?"
I said, while motioning for them to follow me. "I've been waiting for you guys all morning." I looked in my mother's direction and tried to get her attention. She was still fully engaged with Mr. Fenway, and I didn't want to interrupt. Then I lowered my voice to a raspy whisper.
"Come on, let's get out of here."
"But Lena, where are we going?" Savannah asked cautiously without moving.
"Just around."
"It's fine, let's go," I said convincingly.
"Where's Mallory?"
Emma demanded to know before agreeing to move.
"We will find her, I promise. Let's go."
We were trotting quietly toward the doors when Emma reached out one hand and swiped 3 chocolate chip cookies from the food table.
"One second, guys," she said while giggling. "We need our energy."
"Good point." Savannah finally gave in and joined the fun. I led the girls down the same hallways KB had led me down a few hours earlier. We picked up speed with each new turn until we reached the long hallway with the elevators on each side. I remembered that we went up for hair and makeup and down for filming. I wanted Emma and Savannah to see both eventually, so I decided to let them decide which one was first. "Up or down?" I asked.
"Up,"
Emma responded quickly while pushing the little red circle with the up arrow on it. We hopped on, and I pushed the button for the 18th floor. I could tell by the look on Savannah's face that she was worried about something. I reached out and grabbed her shoulders. Then I leaned in forward until the brims of our baseball caps were touching and said, "It's okay. Cops in LA don't arrest kids. It's against the law." She smirked and replied quickly, "But parents do punish them." She continued, "Lena, something about this just doesn't feel right." She paused. "I mean, we didn't even tell anyone where we were going."
She was right.
But we didn't tell anyone because I didn't really know. I spoke with confidence anyway.
"It's not a big deal. I'm just taking you to find some of my new friends."
"Sounds good to me."
said Emma with a mouthful of chocolate chip cookies. When the doors opened, Mallory was standing on the other side. Emma was so surprised and in shock, I wasn't sure she was going to survive. She started hopping up and down like a bunny trying to reach a carrot dangling from a string. Savannah was much more contained. She clasped her hands tightly over the middle of her chest and smiled big with her whole face. Of course, Mallory acted like it was no big deal. She greeted them with huge hugs and even tried to guess who was who. She didn't get it right, but her trying helped us to relax. After spending a few minutes goggling at Mallory, I tried to recapture Emma and Savannah's attention. Mallory encouraged us to have fun with the glitter and shimmery lipstick and pointed to the huge sign with an arrow and the words hair and makeup. We followed the signs all the way to the little classroom directly across from the big restroom. The door was open, and KB was sitting at a table eating her lunch with a few people from the hair and makeup team. "Hey, Lena," she welcomed us in. "Are these your friends you've been telling me about?" "Yep, they are finally here. I want you to meet Emma and Savannah," I said gleefully. Emma pranced right in, reached out her hand towards KB, and blurted out, "Your hair is awesome." KB jumped to her feet while extending her arms around both Emma and Savannah at the same time. "It's so fun to finally meet you two." "And I love your hair too," she said, while gently swinging Emma's hot pink braid from side to side. "So what are you girls going to do while you're here? Is this your first time in California?" "Yes," they said in unison. "You girls want to have some fun?" KB asked while drawing our attention toward the table full of color-coded eyeshadows and an assortment of brushes and sponges. KB was so easy to talk to that within a matter of minutes, she knew all about Miss Blunt, volleyball, and Mexico. It felt like she was my big sister that my friends were meeting for the first time. By the time we left, we were covered in hairspray, mascara, and a colorful mixture of shiny face products. I jumped up on my tiptoes and wrapped my arms around KB's neck and squealed, "KB, you are the best," followed quickly by, "Let's go, girls." "Lena, you'll need to be back here for hair and makeup in 45 minutes, okay?" KB warned as we pranced through the doors. I turned from my waist, winked, and gave her a bouncy thumbs up. 45 minutes, Lena. I heard her voice chase us down the long hallway. "Plenty of time," I responded directly to Emma and Savannah. This was finally our chance to be alone and together again. Emma, Savannah, and I scurried down hallway after hallway, wandering in and out of offices, peeking through windows, exploring restrooms, and waiting with anticipation behind elevator doors. We each had our iPod touches in our hands and randomly stopped for pictures along the way. We wrapped our bodies around every pole we could find, laughed uncontrollably at the strange artwork lining the walls, and listened to our voices echo throughout the large, empty rooms of the 46th-floor building. "Here's our floor, girls!" Emma squealed as the elevator we were on dinged at the number 22. When the elevator doors opened, my jaw relaxed and my mouth dropped open. The doors faced out onto a sort of balcony that was outside, and it was beautiful. Right in front of us were the letters HOLLYWOOD. They were boldly perched on the side of the Hollywood Hills. From this vantage point, although the sign was very far from us, each letter appeared to be within arm's reach. We were captivated by how huge and beautiful it was. "Wow," is all we could each manage to say. The closer we walked to the balcony's railing, the more we could feel the California sun beating on our shoulders through our matching t-shirts. Once we reached the edge of the railing, we plopped our bodies onto the floor. Savannah laid flat on her back with her knees pointing to the sky. Emma leaned her back against the railing and stretched her legs out until they formed a perfect V. I sat up straight between them. I could not take my eyes off the huge white letters, the hills, and the city in front of us. The three of us sat and talked. I finally heard all about Mexico and how they played with dolphins, practiced volleyball on the beach at sunset, and of course, the braids. I hated to interrupt our time, but I knew I needed to head back to the set. I had no idea what time it was or how long we had been away. I spent so much time waiting throughout the day that I figured being a little late would not be a big deal. However, it felt like we had been gone a while, and I didn't want KB or anyone else to worry. Okay, girls, I gotta get back to work. We galloped toward the elevator, but before we could push the button, the doors opened and Mallory was standing right in front of us. KB and my mother were standing directly behind her. No one was smiling. No one was talking. No one looked happy. "Hi," I spoke cautiously. Either they had all heard about the amazing view on the 22nd floor, or I was in major trouble. I blinked quickly and prayed they were just as amazed at the big white letters as we were. "Lena," Mom spoke first. "What are you doing? We have been looking for you for almost 2 hours," KB chimed in. Before I could answer, Mallory stepped a little closer, looked me directly in my eyes, and said, "How could you do this?" Her words froze me in my tracks. "Uh-oh," Emma whispered. "Shh," Savannah urged. This was not the way I imagined our time together would end. It felt silly and pointless to even say the words, "I'm sorry," but that's all my lips could manage to form. Mallory stared at me with disappointment for a few seconds before shaking her head and turning back toward the elevator. "Let's go." My mother turned without looking at me. Once Mallory removed her eyes, no one else looked at me, not even Emma or Savannah. "There are 46 floors in this building, and the entire crew is going from floor to floor looking for you right now. Actually, they've been looking for you for over 2 hours," my mother continued to talk. "Everyone spread out over the entire building, and poor KB even walked outside trying to make sure you weren't hurt somewhere." Her voice was sharp, and each word pierced my heart. I knew I had let everyone down. As I watched the numbers on top of the elevator doors count down, my heart began to beat faster and faster. By the time we reached the bottom, I could see my shirt was vibrating with each beat. I did not know who or what was waiting for me on the other side of the doors, but I knew I was in big trouble. As the doors opened, I could hear Mr. Fenway's voice. His eyes were protruding from the sockets, and his nostrils were flaring. He was fuming. He glanced down at me, looked up at KB, and said, "Let's get her to wardrobe. We may still be able to get a scene in." His voice was void of its normal energetic tone, and his hands were on his hips. I stood quietly and braced myself for whatever was coming next. To my surprise, he simply turned and walked away. His steps were purposeful as he made his way farther and farther down the hall. No one was talking, but I could feel the disappointment and anger in everyone's silence. I just wanted to run and hide. I glanced around quickly and considered my options. I could feel my knees begin to wobble and my voice was weak. "Think, Lena," I said in my head while trying to form some sort of explanation, but I could not come up with anything. Without even realizing it, my legs began moving fast and I headed down the hall in the opposite direction of Mr. Fenway. "Lena! Did you hear Mr. Fenway? You need to get to hair and makeup now," KB yelled after me. I wanted to stop, and I knew I should, but I could not stop my legs from moving forward. I ran until I reached the end of the long hallway and a set of big doors. I heard footsteps behind me, so I knew someone was coming, but I was too ashamed to turn and see who it was. I just wanted to get away from everyone. Without stopping, I wrapped my hands around the large metal handles and forced myself straight through the clear doors. I ran down a narrow brick pathway and didn't stop until I found a short wooden bench to collapse on. Seconds later, the footsteps stopped and I heard a familiar voice saying, "Lena, you have to come back inside." "I can't." My face was planted in the palms of my hands and I cried, "Everyone hates me. I ruined it." I knew this would happen. Asking for this was just one big mistake. "Lena, no one hates you. Yes, we are disappointed, but no one hates you." Mallory's words were soft. "Yes, they do," I cried back at her. "Mr. Fenway, KB, my parents, you, probably even my friends now. Just go tell them to fire me. I never really wanted to do this anyway." I was sobbing loudly, and my breathing was quick and messy. "Lena, I mean it. I just want to go home, back to my real life, I interrupted.
Can I tell you a story?
Mallory continued without even giving me a chance to respond. Her movements were slow as she sat down next to me and reached for both of my hands. She gave them a gentle squeeze and looked me in my eyes and began, "When I was a few days old, my mother noticed something different about me. Even though I was born a healthy baby, she noticed that my cry always sounded different than the other babies. She said it sounded like my throat was scratched and that it looked like it hurt me to cry. She wasn't sure if it was normal, so she took me to the doctor. It turned out that something was actually wrong. After running a lot of tests, the doctors told my mother that I had a rare disorder. They didn't know if I would ever be able to talk. They told my mother that I would eventually lose my voice altogether." I could not believe what Mallory was telling me. She has one of the prettiest voices I had ever heard. I picked my head up and asked, "What happened?" "God gave me a voice," she smiled. "You see, I know my voice is not mine. So every time I have the opportunity to sing or speak, I'm reminded that my voice and my talent are gifts from God. Using my gift is not always easy, and sometimes I am really tired and don't feel like it. But during those times, I trust God to give me what I need in order to do what He asked me to do. I know He gave me a voice so that I could share His love with everyone around me." Mallory kept talking. "There is a verse in the Bible that says, 'Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically, as something done for the Lord.' I want you to remember that verse. It's Colossians 3:23. See, Lena, you may have just thought it would be fun to audition for this opportunity so you could meet me, but God has given you a gift, not just in being able to act, but He has a message for people that only you can give in your own special way. Everything about your life is God's gift, and He gave it to you so that you can share His love with people too." Mallory bent down and wrapped her arms gently around me. She squeezed me tight and said, "No one hates you. We know that you are here to use your gifts. You are not fired, but you do owe a few people an apology." I nodded my head while still in her arms. Then Mallory grabbed my hand and guided me back down the pathway, through the glass doors, and down the long hallway. Everyone was back to work on set, and I needed to get ready. I sat in the big chair with the X legs, grabbed my bag, pulled out my journal, and waited patiently until KB was ready for me. "Dear God, can you help me disappear right now? So many wonderful things have been happening in my life, but somehow I feel so sad. I have been given an opportunity to do something so fun, and even though I miss my friends and my normal life, being a part of this movie is wonderful. Instead of being sad, I need to feel blessed and grateful. How can I make myself feel that way? I guess I can't. But I pray that you will change my heart. God, are you here with me? Why am I saying that when I know you are? You are always with me. So I pray that you would forgive me for not showing you how grateful I am and for not showing your love to Mr. Fenway and the rest of the crew. I haven't made the best choices. Will you help me today? I still have a lot of questions about your plans for me, but I pray that this movie will be great. Help me to remember that people all over the world will see this movie and will learn about you. So it's really not about me. Amen." Oh no, KB is calling for me. I have to apologize. Oh, this is so bad. I can barely forgive myself. What if I apologize and everyone is still mad at me? What if no one will forgive me? Gotta go. Dear God, help me be brave. Chapter 15. Being back on set in front of all of the people that I had just let down felt really weird. Actually, it felt terrible. The words, "I'm a disaster," never came out of my mouth, but I felt them in my heart. By the time the makeup crew finished covering the swelling underneath my eyes and smoothing my hair down into a neat side ponytail, my mom and dad had taken Emma and Savannah back to our house. They probably could not wait to leave. Savannah tried to warn me about the time, and Emma only wanted to make sure we had fun together. I was so ashamed and embarrassed. I wanted them to know that it wasn't their fault. As I walked down the halls and back to set on the 13th floor, everyone just stared at me. Mallory stayed with me and held my hand. She told me I needed to apologize to a lot of people, and she promised that she would be right there if I needed her. I was so afraid. I would have much rather had Mallory hate me at this moment than have her show me so much kindness. I made so many mistakes and done really silly things ever since we met. Well, if you counted the gummy teeth, it was before we ever even met. I couldn't understand why she even still bothered with me. I wished Mr. Fenway would just fire me. That way I could go home and avoid seeing any of them ever again. But that is not what happened. I was going to have to face everyone whether I wanted to or not. I tried to think about what Mallory told me about herself, but it wasn't really helping. Why did I ignore the time? Why was I so afraid that my friends would think being in a movie had changed me? Why wasn't I as excited about this opportunity as everyone said I should be? I could no longer tell if I was sad because I disappointed everyone or if I was simply disappointed in myself. The first person I saw was KB. She was walking straight toward me. I worked really hard to avoid making eye contact with her, mostly because my eyes were full of tears and I needed to hold them in. When I finally reached her, I took a deep breath and said, "I'm really sorry for not listening to you when you told me I only had 45 minutes to hang with my friends." She stooped down until we were the same height, and I finished the apology I had rehearsed in my head. "Thank you for taking such good care of me. I am sorry for letting you down. Will you forgive me?" KB held both of my cheeks in one hand and pinched my nose. "Of course, you little booger." Her smile was big and genuine. Apologizing didn't make me feel any better, but I could tell that it made her happy. KB bounced away as if things were completely back to normal. I took a deep breath in and exhaled more air than I took in. I felt my chest collapse and my knees felt wobbly. Mallory rubbed her hand across my back and said, "You're okay. Good job. Keep practicing the hard things." I stared straight ahead and said, "Hard things. Like finding the people you hurt and asking them to forgive you?" Her response was short, "Yep." I kept walking. The next voice I heard was Mr. Fenway calling my name.
"Lena, we're ready for you."
I walked as slowly as I could to the set where he was waiting for me. My head was still hurting from all the crying I had done, and the palms of my hands were wet and sticky. "Practice hard things." I repeated Mallory's words in my head until I was face to face with Mr. Fenway. He placed one hand on my shoulder and let out a long sigh. I stood completely still. A few moments of silence passed, but it felt like an eternity. Finally, he said, "Lena, do you want this?" I gulped.
"Remember when I called to tell you all about the part?"
I mustered up air to answer, "Yes."
"Do you remember that I told you we prayed about who we would give this part to?"
I mumbled another, "Yes."
"So you see, we believe that you can do this, and we want you here. But after what you did today, I'm not sure that you want to be here."
I could feel the tears that had been gathering in my eyelashes cascading down my cheeks like a waterfall. Mr. Fenway continued to talk.
"Movies cost a lot of money and take a lot of time to make. What you did today cost us both time and money. I am not mad, but I am disappointed and really concerned that maybe this is all too much for you. I don't want to force you to participate in something that you don't really want to be a part of. I'm worried about you."
I could feel Mr. Fenway's words piercing my heart. I kept my eyes closed while he talked and clenched my fist at my waist. I was doing my best to stand tall and hold on tight, but I was losing control. My body was quivering, and my face was covered in smudged mascara and wet powder. Mallory's words were still swirling in my head. When I heard Mr. Fenway take a deep breath, I knew that it was my turn to speak. I unclenched my fist, raised my hands to wipe my eyes, and started to speak. I blurted out, "Mr. Fenway, I'm sorry." Then I stopped talking. I had so many other things I wanted to say, but I just could not get them out. My mouth tried to form the words, but no sound followed. For now, those five words would have to do.
"I forgive you, Lena. Let's go ahead and call it a day. I don't think we can get much more done anyway."
Mr. Fenway patted my shoulder three times and looked away.
"That's a wrap," he announced.
I stood still as the guy behind the cameras started flipping buttons and wrapping up cords. A few crew members adjusted the lights and began collecting their equipment while the sound guy walked backwards down the ladder, carefully lowering a microphone with each step. Everyone works really hard. That's why they were so disappointed with me. I guess it seemed like I didn't care about anybody else, I whispered to myself. I finally got it. Being a part of this movie wasn't just about me. There were so many people that work really hard to get everything ready, and they need me to do my part too, even when I don't want to. I really took advantage of everyone, and they probably felt like I didn't care. I had already apologized to KB, Mallory, and Mr. Fenway, but there were a lot of people I needed to say sorry to. Mostly, I needed to ask God to forgive me for not being a good example of His love. I was not sure if I had officially been dismissed, so I took a few slow steps backwards and stood still for a moment. I felt Mallory scoot behind me and slip her hand into mine. We turned slowly and walked away quietly. I waited in my little dressing room for someone to take me home. I picked up writing in my journal right where I had left off. Dear God, I still don't know if they hate me, but will you help me to make better choices? I don't want to disappoint anyone else, especially not you, but I really need your help. Chapter 16. When Mom poked her head into the room, she was not smiling, but her face was soft and her eyes were sad. We traveled quietly through the halls and out the big glass doors. As soon as we reached the car, she stood in front of me, reached for my hand, and wrapped her arms around me. I collapsed into her chest and sobbed. "I'm sorry, I'm sorry," I continued to cry. I spent the entire drive home in silence, embarrassed by my choices and preparing for a long, awkward evening with my friends, if they still wanted to be called that. I walked in the house with my head down. I had no idea what Dad was going to say, but I knew it wouldn't be good. Immediately, I could smell Mom's taco soup, and my ears recognized mariachi band music blasting from somewhere in the house. When I looked up, Emma and Savannah were standing in the middle of the living room wearing bathing suits and large sombreros with red, yellow, and green straw intertwined through each pointy top. The little living room was covered in a flowery tablecloth and topped with chips, salsa, and three bowls of melted cheese. I could not believe my eyes, nose, or my ears. "Bienvenido a Mexico, chica!" Emma raced toward me holding a little red plastic cup with a tiny hot pink umbrella hanging over the rim. Savannah stepped forward and placed a sombrero over my messy hair. Ansley, Amber, and Ashton ran from the back of the house screaming and giggling, "Welcome to Mexico, Lena!" I reached down and hugged them all at once. Austin scurried around us, trying to break into the fun. The speed of his wagging tail was doubled, and he leaped in the air, landing a paw on each of my shoulders. Before I knew it, I was lying flat on my back. "Austin!" we all screamed. Just when I thought nothing could be better than this, Dad trotted down the hallway holding a pink and white volleyball. "Anyone want to play?" "Of course!" I squealed. Dad opened the front door and took one step out. "Well, come on." Get your bathing suit on, Lena. We don't have sand, but this is beach volleyball. Emma could barely finish her sentence before bellowing out a deep, hearty laugh. I followed her instructions, changed quickly, and ran out front to play. After Mom, Emma, Ashton, and I beat Dad, Savannah, Amber, and Ansley, we headed back inside for dinner. Taco soup! When I thought the party was over, Emma announced that she had one more surprise. She ran to the guest room, and I could hear her rummaging through her luggage. When she returned, she was holding a huge white poster behind her back. Savannah was quiet, but could barely contain her excitement. She was squirming and swaying from side to side. I had no idea what Emma was holding. I glanced at Mom and Dad to try to get a clue, but they looked just as curious as I felt. Once our anticipation reached its limit, Emma began. "So, Lena, after you left, we went to school and told everyone about the movie. They were all excited for you, like everyone in the fifth grade was talking about it for the entire last week of school."
"In third grade, too,"
Ansley wanted to make sure we knew. "I know, right?" Emma acknowledged Ansley and continued. "So, when we found out we were coming to see you, Savannah and I wanted to find a way to let you know how we all felt. We've been waiting for a good time to do this." She moved a little closer, pulled the huge white poster from behind her back, and turned it around. It was full of my classmates' names and pictures from our year together. I spotted Mr. Lipscomb's dissection class, our field day group pictures, and even a picture of Miss Blunt, smiling. There were also drawings of little gold stars forming the word shine in the middle. "School was already out, so we tracked down as many people as we could. Sorry if we missed a few, but guess who helped us?"
"Oh my,"
I gasped, shouted, ran closer, and touched it.
"Miss Blunt helped us. She's like your biggest fan."
"Guys, I can't believe this." I could not find any other words to say. I walked over to each of them and gave them full body hugs. I could barely sit still for the rest of the night. Dad hung the poster above the fireplace, and every few seconds I would run up to it and smile. We spent the rest of the night just being together, eating and hanging out. When my friends and I finally piled into the guest room for the night, we dimmed the lights, and within a few seconds, everyone was snoring. Well, everyone except me. I just kept smiling. My eyes didn't feel sleepy, and my brain was wide awake. I had so many thoughts going through my head. I knew I needed to sleep, but I needed to empty my brain first. I crept out of bed, down the hall, and into my own room. With my journal in my hands, happy tears streaming down my face, I started to write everything I felt in my heart. "Dear God, thank you, thank you, thank you. What a terrible day this was, but somehow it still worked out. I think I'll actually remember this as one of the best days ever. Maybe the best days are after bad days because it's then that I see just how much I really need your help. I know what I did today wasn't right, but I am so glad that no one hates me. You don't hate me, right? Dad says you love me all the time, and I think I am starting to feel that. No way would this have worked out without you. Mr. Fenway would not have forgiven me, Mallory would hate me, and no one would want me around anymore. But that didn't happen, and I think it's because everyone knows your love and helped me to see it too. Thank you for my friends and for forgiving me. I just feel much better now." Chapter 17. I woke up with Ashton and Amber sitting on the edge of the bed. It was still dark outside, and Emma, Savannah, and Austin were still snoring. Ashton and Amber, however, were fully dressed and ready for the day. Ashton was wearing her navy blue shirt with the sparkly silver circles to match her gray glitter leggings. Amber was sitting right next to her in her pink and white polka dot leggings, white t-shirt, and rainbow-striped rain boots. "Why are you guys already dressed? What time is it?" I whispered.
"I don't know," Amber said quietly while shrugging her shoulders. Ashton didn't even bother to reply.
She just looked at me directly in the eyes, waiting to see what I would say next.
Is it raining?
Nope, Amber said with a giggle.
Well,
I stopped mid-sentence, hoping she would explain why she was wearing rain boots or why she was wearing them while sitting on the edge of the bed while it was still dark outside. But she didn't, and neither did Ashton. I dropped my face into my pillow and laughed. I could feel them still sitting there staring at me.
Mexico was so fun, wasn't it?
Ashton asked. She looked off into the distance with a smile in her eyes.
Yeah, it was, I grinned. It was the best.
I flipped over on my back and looked at them. Amber just kept giggling, and Ashton was playfully switching between a smirk and a grin. My heart felt full, and my insides felt warm.
Lena, guys, what are you doing?
Ansley was awake now, too.
Nothing, Ashton informed her.
Lena, what time do you guys have to leave today?
Ansley sat up and tucked her legs underneath her.
I don't have to be on set until noon today, I answered. I wonder what time it is now.
Ansley reached under her pillow and pulled out the watch she had gotten for her birthday 2 years ago.
It's 5:33, she said.
Ansley squinted her eyes and asked Ashton and Amber why they were dressed. They responded with more giggles and said,
"We don't know. We just wanted to play."
Ansley shook her head, and so did I. Just then, Emma popped her head up.
"So, Lena, you're going back?"
"Back to set?"
"I think so.
I feel like I have to," I answered. Emma looked at me concerned.
"But you don't want to?" she asked.
I paused before answering.
"Yeah, I do."
"Good," we heard another voice. Savannah was awake. I sighed. "Before we left yesterday, I heard Mr. Fenway telling your mom how much he loved working with you and that he wanted you to keep at it." Emma spoke while hopping up and into the bed with Ansley.
"Plus, I've already told everyone I know that my best friend is famous."
"Emma!"
I screeched. Everyone started laughing and snorting. I looked around at each of them. Seeing their smiles, hearing them laugh, and knowing they were all my friends no matter what was just what I needed in order to face everyone again today.
"So, Lena," Ansley said.
I could tell she was just getting started with her questions, so I braced myself.
"What did you guys do while you were missing?"
Amber hurried and tried to shush her, but Ansley kept talking anyway.
"We were all so scared when we couldn't find you. Mr. Fenway had everyone pray that you were okay."
"He did? Well, I'm sorry about that. The whole thing was a huge mistake," I admitted. Amber kicked her boots off to reveal her green, yellow, and white striped socks and stretched out her body right next to mine. Ashton followed her and slid her long toes from inside her soft blue ballerina slippers before curling up on the other side of me.
"I guess I just wanted to hang out with my friends like I did back home, but I didn't do it the right way. I should have told someone where we were going, and I should have kept better track of time."
Savannah nodded her head and added,
"Yeah, we weren't being very responsible."
"Nope," said Emma, "but it was fun being together. Before we got in trouble, when we hung out with Mallory and KB, they're great."
"We miss you, Lena," Savannah said. "But we understand that you have people counting on you here. As soon as you get home, we will have plenty of time to hang out. We can wait until then."
"Yeah, I know. It's just really hard. Like, suppose things are different when I get home. Like the other night when the interview came on, everyone was so focused on me on the TV that no one even paid attention to me leaving the room.
But we are just so excited for the movie because you are in it."
"I know, Emma. It's just, well, you know, I like being here, and everyone is so nice. I'm learning a lot, and I think I may even want to make movies one day. But sometimes it feels like this stuff is taking over my life. But maybe it is supposed to. I don't know." No one spoke for a while after that. The room was silent, but it felt like we all shared the same thoughts. We were friends, and as I lay there surrounded by them, my best friends and my sisters, I knew that no matter what, we would always be together. My eyes were closed when I felt Ansley tapping on my shoulder.
Here, Lena.
When I opened my eyes, I saw her birthday watch dangling from her hand. Keep this in your pocket. As always, Ainsley had found a way to make us all laugh. Once we settled down again, no one spoke, and soon everyone was back to sleep. The room was still dark. I rolled to my side, kissed Amber on the nose, and closed my eyes and whispered, God, thank you. Chapter 18. It had been 4 weeks since I last woke up on a floor, in a closet, or cuddled with a shoe. After my friends left, I'd started to feel more rested. Mom said I was finally learning to really relax. I liked the way it felt. My eyes popped open, and my entire body sprang forward like someone was pushing me up from beneath my bed. I immediately thought Ainsley was the culprit, but I glanced over and saw that she was nestled comfortably in her bed. The sun was shining so brightly into my room that I could barely open my eyes. I took one giant deep breath in and exhaled. Today was my final day on set. I was just as nervous about it ending as I had been about it starting. I'd learned so much over the last couple of months, and I wasn't really sure what life would feel like once this was all over. But I was excited to find out. I had made so many new friends, gotten a lot taller, and learned a lot about making movies and making friends. I felt another hard push from below. Ouch! I bounced forward again. Who's under there? I bent my body in half, leaned forward, and poked my head underneath the bed to investigate. Austin, I whispered. Austin was sitting on his bottom while spinning in small circles. I stretched my neck under the bed as far as I could in order to get a closer look at what he was doing. When I realized he was nibbling on Ainsley's yellow sandal, I patted my hand on the floor 3 times as hard as I could. Oh no! Stop it, boy! Austin looked at me with a mix of sadness and fear. His head dropped down, and he slowly backed away from the sandal. Good boy. I smiled to let him know that I wasn't upset with him. After all, I did understand his desire to destroy those sandals once and for all. However, Ainsley was still attached to them, and I knew she would not be happy if Austin ate them for breakfast. I pulled myself back up to the top of my bed and flopped flat on my back and smiled. My smile spread across my face, and I could feel little butterflies making themselves at home in the bottom of my stomach once again. I recognized the feeling from earlier in the summer when I first learned about this adventure, and now it was almost over. I rested for a few seconds longer and listened to see if anyone else was awake. The only thing I could hear was Ainsley smacking her lips together in her sleep and tossing her head a little from side to side on her pillow. I kicked my legs straight into the air and hopped out of bed. I yanked Ainsley's blanket down from under her neck and ran straight out of our room, down the hall, and into my mom and dad's room. I leaped into the air, landed on their bed, and positioned myself right in the middle of them. Rise and shine, sleepyheads, I said while wiggling deeper into the small space between them. Lena, girl, move over, Dad said. Mom never said a word, but I knew she was awake. Come on, guys, it's party day. Aren't we all going? Mr. Fenway had told Mom and Dad that the entire family was invited to the last day of filming. We were going to celebrate after. Yes, go get your sisters up. We're getting up now, Dad said. Okay, Ainsley, Ashton! I started screaming before I was even out of their door. Lena! I finally heard Mom's voice. It's too early for that, she moaned. I smiled and headed down the hall toward my sister's room. Eventually, everyone was up and hustling about. Ainsley and Ashton were discussing their breakfast options while Amber was sitting in the middle of the floor putting on her pink and white polka dot socks. I was fully dressed in my jean overalls and long sleeve pink shirt with the little flowers on it. My teeth were brushed and I was ready to go. I placed my star-shaped sunglasses on top of my head in order to hold back my hair, wrapped a blue plaid flannel around my waist in case it was chilly outside, and headed for the door. I could hear Austin rustling around behind me. Come on, boy, I said while bending down and giving his ears a gentle swoosh. Even he was invited to celebrate with us today, and I'm pretty sure he knew it. I scooped him up into my arms and squatted down by the door. I was going to miss this house. I knew it wasn't home, but we had made so many memories there. I thought about the first day, when Mom and I were dropped off, and it was just the two of us. I glanced at the sink where Mom was standing now and remembered bending over it as she scrubbed and pulled remaining pieces of grape-flavored yummy gummy from my hair. I slid back against the door with Austin snuggled in my lap and closed my eyes. I think even Austin knew it was our last day. He seemed a little sad.
"Let's go, ladies," Dad interrupted my thoughts. "I have a surprise."
"What is it, Daddy?"
Amber bounced up and down impatiently.
"If I told you, then it wouldn't be a surprise now, would it?" he responded. "Okay, listen up, girls. I want to read something first."
Dad opened the Bible on his phone and started reading from Hebrews 11. "Faith is what makes real the things we hope for. It is proof of what we cannot see. God was pleased with the people who lived a long time ago because they had faith like this. Faith helps us understand that God created the whole world by his command. This means that the things we see were made by something that cannot be seen." I'm going to skip to verse 8, but I think this one is very important for us. He said and then continued, "God called Abraham to travel to another place that he promised to give him. Abraham did not know where that other place was. But he obeyed God and started traveling because he had faith. Abraham lived in the country that God promised to give him. He lived there like a visitor who did not belong. He did this because he had faith. He lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who also received the same promise from God. Abraham was waiting for the city that has real foundations. He was waiting for the city that is planned and built by God." He slid his phone back into his pocket and continued, "Girls, I know this sounds really confusing, and it's probably a little hard for you to understand right now, but God has plans for our lives way past today. Think about this summer, how much fun it has been, but also how challenging it has been at times for all of us. God knew every detail way before we did. That's why he asked us to have faith and trust him." Dad turned and looked directly at me. "Lena, I am so proud of you. You have grown a lot this summer. You have gotten much taller, but I can also see God growing your heart. I know this has not been easy for you, but God asked you to do something that made you uncomfortable so that he could use your life, and you let him. That's a big deal. Now many people will be blessed by your gifts and talents." Mom squeezed my hand. "But girls, God's not just pleased with Lena because she's in a movie. He's pleased with each of you. We left our home and all our friends for an entire summer. He knew that wasn't going to be comfortable or easy, but you guys did it, and you have loved each other and been kind all summer. That's a big deal, too." Amber and Ashton giggled. "I'm proud of each of you, and I know God is smiling right now. Let's pray." Amber interrupted him. "Daddy, can I pray?" He nodded his head, and Amber prayed. "Dear God, thank you for my mommy, daddy, and my sisters. Thank you for letting Lena be in a movie and for all the people that are making it with her. Thank you for this house and for Austin. I pray you keep us all safe and give us a good last day in California. Amen." We all repeated after her, "Amen." We each scurried out the door and piled into the back of the van. Mom slid into the front seat and closed the door. "Blast off," Mom said and began laughing hysterically. The anticipation of Dad's surprise had us all excited. The twins would not stop giggling, and Ansley was attempting to ask me all sorts of random questions about her upcoming transition into the fourth grade. The summer was almost over, and her brain was preparing for back to school. I wasn't really ready to think about it yet. I was just looking forward to being home. 6 minutes later, Dad pulled up into the drive-through window of a white shack with a big red sign that read, "Donuts."
I'll take 2 large coffees and 8 glazed donuts, he said while leaning out the spaceship wagon's window. We all squealed. We had not had our traditional morning donut run in so long. Dad was right. This was a great surprise for us all. I leaned forward to help him like I do at home. Even though Mom was in the car, it's my job to pass out the napkins and donuts. As I leaned closer to the front seat, I glanced to my right and saw a man standing a few steps away from our van. He was so close, I almost screamed. He wasn't looking at us, but while we waited for Dad to finish paying, I just kept staring at him. He was wearing something on his feet, but they did not look like shoes, and I could see his sockless feet through the large holes at the tops. His shirt was torn, and his pants were a faded green with patches of dried dirt all over them. I couldn't take my eyes off him. I'd seen homeless people before, but for some reason this man looked different. I wondered where he slept, or if he slept at all. Why doesn't he have a home? I thought to myself. I wished I could help him. I had gotten so lost in my thoughts that my dad's voice startled me. Lena, here are the donuts. I turned quickly and grabbed the box. My dad was waiting to drive away as I passed 2 hot donuts back to Ansley, 2 to Amber, and 2 to Ashton. The remaining donuts were mine, but I just kept glancing at the man outside my window. Mom followed my eyes to see what I was looking at. When she saw the man, her eyes filled with sadness, and she shook her head. I looked out the window at the man again and back down at the 2 donuts. I knew what I needed to do. As hard as I tried to ignore the voice in my head, my heart would not let me. I needed to give the man in the faded green pants my donuts. I needed to help him, and donuts were all I had. I turned away from the window to ask Mom and Dad, but they were both already smiling. Mom nodded before the words ever formed. Dad pushed the button for the back window to go down. "Excuse me, sir," I said as I held the 2 hot donuts out my window. He turned and reached his hands out. I think he was shy because he looked away and whispered, "Thank you." He had a sad face, but I could see a smile in his eyes. I hopped back into the back seat and took a deep breath. My brain felt all foggy, and I felt weird. I think it was a combination of sadness and satisfaction. I desperately wanted my donuts, but when I closed my eyes, I could picture the man's smiley eyes and his dirty pants. He needed them more than I did. As Dad pulled out, I felt a soft tap on my shoulder. It was Ansley.
"Here, Lena,"
she said and handed me 1 of her donuts.
"Thank you,"
I squealed. I slouched back in my seat and grinned. As soon as we pulled into the parking garage of the set, I saw KB outside waiting for me as usual. She greeted each of us with a big hug and led the way while telling me what I could expect for the day. "Today's a really short day. We just have 1 last team meeting and we need to take a few photos. After that, we will have the end of filming party. That is going to be a lot of fun." She grabbed Ashton's hand and said, "There will be games and food for everyone." She showed Mom, Dad, and my sisters where they could wait and told them it would only be about 30 minutes before we headed to the party. I followed KB to the room where we were meeting. Mr. Finway thanked everyone for a great experience. He told us to continue to pray for the team as they finished editing and preparing the movie for theaters. The last thing he talked about was how important it was to be ready for radio interviews and television appearances. "Remember, people may start recognizing you from the TV ads they see and articles they are reading about upcoming movies. It's a perfect opportunity for you all to talk about the movie as well as our mission. God will continue to use you if you are open to Him. Let people know this is a super special movie with a great message for everyone," Mr. Finway said as he wrapped up his talk. After he finished talking, he asked us all to join hands to pray before everyone could head outside for the party. As soon as he finished, I opened my eyes and spotted Mallory. She was doing a little dance and skipping toward me. She burst out laughing as I attempted to mimic her moves. I was really excited to talk to her. I needed to tell her about the man in the faded green pants. "Hey, Lena," she said while reaching out and giving me a hug.
"Hi, guess what?"
I hugged her back.
"What?"
Her eyes widened, and she leaned in closer to listen. I told her all about Dad's surprise and how excited the entire family was because it reminded us all of home. I told her about my job passing out the donuts and how this morning I could barely do it because of the sad-looking man. When I finally got to the part about giving him the donuts, I could feel my eyes begin to fill with tears.
"Oh, Lena," she said, "I love hearing this and seeing how God is working on your heart."
Her words sounded just like my dad's. I didn't know why I was crying. They were not sad tears, but they weren't happy tears either. It felt like my heart was just wide open, and I could feel everything that was happening around me like I never had before. I didn't just feel like I was doing what people told me to do, but I was doing what I knew I needed to do. I could tell Mallory understood exactly what I was feeling. She squeezed me tightly again and said, "When God tells you to do something, always say yes. The more you say yes to him, the more people will experience his love through your actions." In that moment, I was more grateful than ever for the gifts God had given me. I was grateful that I had said yes to things that I didn't even want to do. I had needed this summer, and I hadn't even known it. I remembered when Mallory told me I was already like Mr. Fenway and Gina, and I finally understood what she meant. I didn't need to wait until I was all grown up or to have a big dream or big plan in order for God to use me. All I wanted were donuts, but God used that to have me help someone else. I prayed that man in the faded green pants felt God's love. When we stepped out of the back door, there was a long red carpet leading out the door to where the party was set up. People were standing on both sides of it, welcoming us to the celebration with clapping and shouting. I looked around and saw so many of the same faces that had welcomed me into the meeting on the first day of this movie adventure. They were no longer strangers. They were my friends. After taking a few steps onto the carpet, Austin spotted me. He jumped down from Dad's arms, headed straight down the middle of the carpet, and leaped into the air and into my arms. Everyone laughed hysterically and cheered even louder. I stood there for a few extra seconds and tried to take a picture with my brain. I wanted to remember everything exactly this way. We spent the rest of the day eating, talking, dancing, and laughing until our faces hurt. Ansley summed it up perfectly when she said, "Leaving home and staying here in California was worth it since we got to come to such a great party." Even Mr. Fenway laughed at that. By the time we finished at the party, everyone was exhausted, but there was one more leg to our journey, our flight home. When we arrived at the airport, even Austin was wiped out and didn't protest too much when Mom and Dad put him in his travel crate, and we said goodnight to him before boarding the plane ourselves. "Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff," the pilot announced once all the passengers had taken their seats. I sat back and stared out of a tiny, oval-shaped window. It was dark outside, but the sky was glowing. The stars seemed brighter than normal, and as we took off from the runway, they looked so close it felt like I could touch them. "Hello, stars," I whispered.
"Lena, what did you say?" Ansley asked.
"Oh, just talking to myself." I looked at her and smiled.
"Hello, stars. It's me again. I can't believe I am back home. Everything looks the same here. It smells a little different, but I am sure that will go away soon. I just wanted to tell you thank you. Thank you for being there for me this summer. I am not sure how I would have made it without you. It no longer feels weird to write on these pages. I think I am actually writing to God. At least it feels that way. He's the one that really helped me through this summer. School will start in just a few days, and I am not sure how busy I'll be getting used to the sixth grade. I really don't know what will happen next, but I pray that I'll be ready for it. Good night for now, but I am sure I'll talk to you again soon."
You've been listening to the audio production of Hello Stars. Text copyright 2017 and 2018 by Alina Pitts and Winter Pitts. Production copyright 2021 by Zondervan. No portion of this recording may be reproduced without the prior written consent of the publisher. For more information on other books and audio products from Zondervan, please visit your favorite retailer or visit us online at zondervan.com.